Today, we are going to be telling the story of Elisha trapping the Arameans. Can everyone say Arameans? Arameans. Now, kids, I need your help for this story. You're going to be a big part of this. So you ready to help? You engaged? You ready? Yes. You know what? You're sitting awesome, Abraham. You're a model for everyone. So good. I love it. So, the king of the Arameans is attempting to attack Israel. And the Arameans were the enemies. Can everyone say the enemies? The enemies. Do we like our enemies? Oh, we don't like our enemies. Oh, that's good. I'm glad we're on page. We do not like our enemies. The Arameans king called this army together and he said something like this. This is what we're going to do. We're going to secretly set up our camp in this area. And while we camp out, we will attack Israel and have great victory over them. The commander of the army thought that the king's plans were good. Can everyone show me good? They were good. So they would send their soldiers to set up camp in the place the king had said. So the Aramean, the big king's like, okay, we want a victory. We want to defeat the Israelites. So we're going to camp out and we're going to take them over. That's not good. Can we go? Meanwhile, back in Israel, there's a man of God named Elisha. Can everyone say Elisha? Not Elijah Barrow, Elisha. Elisha. And Elisha was a prophet. Kids, do you know what a prophet is? Abby, what's a prophet? Do you want to say it into the mic?
Someone who knows God's sent to save the lead their people.
Yeah, so it's someone that God has empowered with His Spirit to be a messenger for him to the Israelites, to God's people. So, Elisha would hear the voice of God. Remember this. Elisha hears the voice of God. And God spoke to Elisha and told him about the Aramean's secret plan. What? So the king over here of the Arameans is like, okay, we're ready to set up. We're going to defeat them. We're going to get victory. And Elisha's over here like, guys, I know what they're about to do. I've got the plan. And so Elisha goes to the king of Israel and tells him the plan of the Arameans. So he tells them their secret plan. And he said exactly where they would be hiding. He said, be on guard. Do not have any of your enemies go near this particular area because the Arameans are planning a surprise attack. The king listened to Elisha's warnings and sent a spy to the area. And sure enough, he was right. Elisha's message was true. The king of Israel didn't send anyone to the Arameans and they weren't able to attack. So their plan failed. We go, brah, brah. Their plan failed. Elisha came out on top. Now, what was happening was God was showing the Aramean's secret plan, the battle plans, to Elisha and telling the Israelites, and they had the upper hand. Have you ever played, kids, have you ever played a board game? We're playing battleships. We've got the nice big divider. We've placed all our battleships perfectly. And then someone comes around and peeks over your shoulder, looks at where your battleships are, goes, yep, yep, yep. And then goes back to the other side and says, this is where they are. And then they win. How annoying is that? How would you feel? You'd be like, what? That's cheating. They just told, this is how the Arameans felt. They were like, what the heck? How could this happen? So Elisha had the upper hand. The king of the Arameans decided to come up with another plan. He decided to attack another area of Israel and told his commanders to take the armies to a new position. The armies went up to their camp and waited for the next surprise attack. But again, the Lord told Elisha the king's secret plans. Elisha went and warned them, and they didn't. The enemy's plans were destroyed. They failed yet again. This is happening time and time. The king of the Arameans is suspicious of his own men. He's like, okay, guys, come on, cough it up. Who is telling the other side our plans? Who could it be? But we know. Every time he sent out to surprise Israel, they didn't show up in the area. And so the king decided to spy for Israel from his own army. He decided he would be a spy. He asked, which one of you is going to tell Israel our plans? One of the commanders of the army said, none of us is doing that, Your Majesty. You see, there's a man named Elisha who lives in Israel, and he tells the king your plans. Is that right? Well, we're just going to have to gather up our army and go and capture Elisha. Oh no, he will no longer be able to ruin our plan. So they're going straight to the source. They're like, okay, this guy, he's in our way. We need victory over these guys. They're our enemies. The Israelites are just on their high horses like, we've got Elisha, we've got God, we're all sweet. And he's like, I'm going to take Elisha. Now, I was reading this story and I was like, surely the Arameans learnt their lesson. But no, they didn't. So they went to try and capture Elisha. We have learned Elisha is in Dothan, Your Majesty. The king of the Arameans sent a very large army with horses and chariots. They arrived in Dothan at night and surrounded the city. They planned to capture Elisha and take him to their king. Now the Arameans really, really didn't think this plan out, because God would tell Elisha where his armies were going to attack. What made him think that God wouldn't tell Elisha that he was sending the enemy to capture him? If he had figured out all the other plans before, Elisha's like, guys, come on. I've got God. Like, what do you think you could possibly do? So it was early in the morning, and Elisha's servant got up from the tent and looked outside, and he was startled. Can everyone show me your startled face? Not the startled face of our drawing that was depicted about Sammy. Our own startled face. As far as he could see, the armies surrounded their town. I can see pretty far in this auditorium. As far as he could see, there was armies upon armies ready. He was frightened and quickly went to tell Elisha the news. Elisha was a man of God, and he knew that God was in control of all of these things. He knew God was all-powerful and can protect his people. Do we know that God is our all-powerful protector? Yeah, we do. In verse 16, he says, do not be afraid, Elisha answered, for who are with us, there are more than are with you. Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he can see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and he saw hills filled with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Imagine that. Imagine sitting there. You've woken up. You're scared to death. You're frightened. You're like, the army is going to attack me. And then Elisha just prays, and all of a sudden you see God's army. No one else can, you can. God opens the servant's eyes. Here Elisha is faced with a really real problem of surrounded by a massive army. Elisha's servant was terrified, but he told him to not be afraid and that they had a clear advantage. God's army was with them even though they couldn't see, even though they were invisible. God and his angels are around us all the time, even though we can't see them. The Aramean army must have seen movement at the place where Elisha had been staying, and they began to move in and capture him. As they moved in, Elisha prayed to the Lord again. Man, Elisha and God are like besties at this point. They're like, I've got your back. Here's my plan. Don't worry. He can see the invisible army. I'll show him. What could he possibly pray for? That the army would attack? Well, he flips the script. A few minutes earlier, he asked God to open the eyes of the servant. Now he prayed for the Lord to blind the eyes of the Aramean army. God heard his prayer and the army lost their sight. Everyone close your eyes. Can we see very well? There was no answer. Can we see? No, we can't. Is it hard to attack someone when you can't see them? Yeah, I think it's a bit hard. Like, I don't know if I'm going to step off the stage or not. Have to feel it out. Open your eyes again. They began to stumble and bump into each other. They must have been confused and frightened of where they couldn't see. Elisha went to the blinded soldiers and said, guys, you're not on the right road. Let me take you to the city and help you find the man you're looking for. The Aramean army begins to follow Elisha. Little do they know they're following the man that they had set out to capture. So this is a bit funny, a bit ironic. God's got a sense of humor we like. And he led them 20 kilometers into the city of Samaria. Once in the city where the king of Israel was, Elisha prayed to give them sight again. God opened their eyes and they saw that they were in the middle of the enemy's city. So they've gone to attack Elisha, failed miserably, been blinded. They then follow the man who they have no idea who it is, follows him to the city, and they're just dumped in the middle of their enemy's land. If I was Arameans, I'd be like, oh, what we do? This God of theirs is too good. They saw they were surrounded by Israelites, and they would have been embarrassed and frightened. What do you think the enemy, their enemy, so the Arameans' enemy, Israel, what do you think Israel was going to do? Kids, what do you think they were going to do? They've just captured their army, dragged them to their city. What do you think could happen? Any ideas? Nicholas says, we're going to kill them. We're going to kill them. Anything else? Maybe we might make them some slaves, get us to build our houses for a while, give us some income. Well, when the king of Israel saw them, he shouted, should I kill them? Should I kill them? And Elisha replies, of course not. We don't kill them. We do not kill prisoners of war. We give them food, we give them drink, and we send them home to their master. What? They didn't get anything. They came out to attack, to kill, and they're like, no. We're going to give them food, and he prepared a feast for them. A feast for their enemies. I think of that verse in Psalm 23. So the king made a feast and sent them home. Elisha reminded the king that he didn't capture the army, God did. He wanted the soldiers to live so he could go back to the Arameans and tell them that what the God of Israel can do, our God can do. After that, the Aramean riders stayed far away from the land of Israel. And that is the end of our story. Very good, everybody. Thank you for listening. Now, kids, that was our story. Adults, this is part one. We've got part two. So I'd like to invite Darren Millichamp to come up.
Cool. I get to do... Oh, no, pulpit. Oh, no. Sorry. Nah, it's all good. I got this. Anne's been encouraging me. Yeah, so I got my grown-up shoes. Going through the, I love the old time prophets and how God was so faithful to his chosen people. But back then, pre-Jesus, you know, all they had was the prophets to go and tell them, instruct them, rebuke them, whatever needed to happen, God would use as prophets. But then Jesus came and he said to us, I'm going to give you one better. And he gave us Holy Spirit. So as Elijah was hearing, you know, Elijah was with God, listening. He was trained by Elijah. So you know, he knew how to hear God's voice, how to listen. And from all the old other prophets prior, he probably also knew what to do when he was, you know, when God spoke to him and instructed him to obey God, deliver the message, however it was received, he did his job. And God was always with his people, saw his people through, led them and guided them. And so we still have prophets today and they are awesome. And I've had, you know, when I was growing as a Christian, they would come into a church and they would speak over people and myself and really encourage me. And but what I learned is we now have Holy Spirit, because as we're going through this theme, we're not of this world. So each and every one of us individually, we can lean in, walk close with Holy Spirit, tune our ears daily to hear his voice. So then Holy Spirit, when things come into up against us, you know, when the enemy comes against us, like they came against the King of Israel, Holy Spirit will say, look, hey, you know, in the still quiet voice, you know, do this or this is going to happen, or hey, don't do that, go this way, go that way. He'll speak to us in the still, in the small quiet voice. And if we're close, if we're listening to that all the time, he will lead us and guide us. And what the enemy plans against us won't prevail, because, you know, God has his army surrounding us all the time. You know, God's got us. But we just need to tune our ears into Holy Spirit and develop that closeness. So then Holy Spirit can speak to us privately, quietly, intimately. And we can hear and we can go, okay, we can do this. Because I preached a while ago about 1 degree of separation. If we don't follow God's plan and we just go our own way just by a little bit, long enough, we're off track. And Holy Spirit, that intimate little relationship and voice that we hear kind of has to get a little bit louder because we're not close to hear it. So if we just, I don't know, develop that and nurture the quiet and the stillness, and then God will open our eyes so we can actually see in the supernatural what's happening, God's plan, especially right now in these exciting times. It's crazy, and we can be panicked, we can be fearful, we can, you know, anxiety rises, but we've got God, Holy Spirit, Jesus on our side, saying to us, it's all good. It's all part of my plan. I've spoken about it from days of old, right through to Revelations. I've got this. So we just say, Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Let us see God's plan in this, see our part of it, and we'll just trust in you, and we'll just walk with you, and you've got this, you've got us. And that's all we need to do. It's so simple, but it starts by leaning into Holy Spirit, developing that relationship, and just daily walking with him, and we'll start to hear more, we'll start to see more. Our spiritual awakening will start to happen, and we will know exactly what God's got for us and plans for us. So it's easy when we're young because we're all excited, but as we get a little bit older and older, and our knees crack and our backs pop, and we lose the ability, or we lose the focus, because we've done life and we've got a bit of experience, but we don't. We need Holy Spirit now more than ever. So that's what I got out of that. The enemy may war and battle against us and bring turmoil, but if we stop and listen to God, listen to Holy Spirit, ask him to open our eyes to the supernatural, see God's army around us, with us, protecting us, and walk with him, we'll do okay, and we'll make it. And then we can role model that to our children and our children's children. So then it would become a natural thing that's what my dad did, that's what I'll do, and that's what I'll teach my kids to do. And, you know, we'll set generations up. But especially God's really put in my heart for men. It's been ticking me off for ages that we kind of dropped the ball a little bit in our walk, and that we need to pick it up. You know, our wives have carried us, and our wives have dragged us to church when we don't want to go to church. But guys, just if we can just light that fire again and get connected, and because there's a generation of young men rising up without us that they haven't been role modeled, and you know, it's challenging me. Friday nights, get into it, because these young fellas, they're going off, and yeah, I'm jealous. So yeah, trust in God, tune areas to Holy Spirit, see the supernatural, and God will set our path straight in all that we do. So
yeah, that's fantastic, Darren. All I could think about was the next time that I wake up to some disaster that my children have done while I was sleeping in. It's like, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see what you see. Let me see them how you see them. And I wonder how many armies we face ourselves in front of that we need to say, all right, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to see here? Like, I'm seeing this. This is not looking good. But God's seeing a different perspective. You know what I love about these services is that these simple stories, we sow the seeds of the simple stories in the young. And then 20 and 30 years later, you go, wow, how many layers of deep wisdom was buried in that story? That's one of the incredible things about the Bible. And that's why we do this. That's why we want to focus on families at least once a month and sow these seeds in. Because you think, what are the kids going to remember? Oh, they'll remember the stories, and then they'll be able to draw out the wisdom. It'll be really cool. Awesome.